This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for listening. Brandon Legal Group continues to be a longtime supporter of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the upcoming Todd Wright Tour XXIX Good versus Evil on February 6th in Clearwater, Florida. If you'd like golf information, email me directly at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. My events are open to the public. We're always welcoming new people to join our group that has been growing for over 5 years now. Brandon Legal Group has been a part of that growth. They buy the first foursome in every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, provide prize baskets for virtually every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament. Twice a year, they offer tournament gifts to my golfers, and they have been supporting my podcast now for 3 years running. When you are in need of legal assistance, whether it is family law, divorce, anything that you can think of where you need legal assistance, call Brandon Legal Group for a free consult, 844-4BLG-4ME. Or you can just go to brandonlegalgroup.com, just scroll around on the front page, you'll see a box, request a free consultation. Just click on that, take it from there, and you will receive that free consult from Brandon Legal Group. I thank them for their continued support. They will be with me on the podcast and in the golf tournaments throughout all of 2021. Thanks to Papa John's of Tampa Bay for their continuing support, whether it's Mike Lentz, the manager at the Papa John's on West Waters, playing in one of my golf tournaments, Denny Gray, helping me out with something last minute from the West Kennedy store that's closest to me. Papa John's of Tampa Bay is there to cater my golf tournaments. They're there to offer pizza prize packs, a very popular prize at my golf tournaments, and they are active listeners of my podcasts. They have the new Epic Stuffed Crust Pizza, promotionally priced at just $12. It is a huge hit. And remember, the Papadillas as well continue promotionally priced at only $6. Thank you to Papa John's of Tampa Bay. Email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Instagram, @toddwright2020. Twitter, @toddwright2020. Or you can send me a Facebook friend request. Just please, if we become friends on Facebook, do not ask me to like any additional pages. We will not continue to be friends if you do that, because I will not do that to you. Before we look ahead to this weekend's NFL divisional playoffs, let's look back to what we did on the podcast before the NFL first round of the playoffs, as I call it. Six games this year. And the favorites last weekend went 2-4 against the spread. The Rams won outright as an underdog, as did the Browns. They were the two underdogs that won outright, didn't need the points. The favorites that won and covered were the Ravens on the road at the Titans and the Saints, despite the late touchdown and the walk-off by Jimmy Graham, might be a walk-off for his career. The Saints also covered the number. So looking ahead to this weekend and going in order of the four games as they are played, and saving the Buck game for last, Rams-Green Bay opened at 7, and at the time that I'm doing this podcast, the consensus out of Las Vegas is 6.5. It seems like a low number. It just does, based on what we know Green Bay is capable of. I can certainly justify the low number if you call a touchdown a low number. A low number is a field goal. It just feels like this should be bigger based on how the Rams are going to have to go with an injured Jared Goff at quarterback. Now, he will have had six more days to feel the football better and know where it's going with that surgically repaired right thumb, since Wolford will not be able to play. The Rams will have other options. Don't laugh. It's Blake Bortles. If Goff gets hurt again or is ineffective or just flat out inaccurate to the point where McVay's like, Jared, you saved us last week. We're going to try something else this week. Blake Bortles will be next to go in the game. Aaron Donald's injury is very significant. Donald says he's going to play. I think he'll be active and he will play. And I would imagine one of the best defensive players in the game is going to start the game and give it everything he has. And that's better than most defensive players have to give. Jalen Ramsey against Davante Adams is very significant in this game. Now, we don't know if Ramsey's going to go wherever Adams goes. The Rams have a quality defensive coordinator. I would imagine Adams will see a lot of Ramsey's coverage. It doesn't mean Rodgers won't throw at Adams. It won't mean Adams won't be open. It won't mean Adams won't catch balls. It won't mean Ramsey will dominate Adams. But, you know, Adams can go on these runs with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers where Rodgers and him just make it look easy. The presence of Ramsey is going to interrupt that. They're not going to make it look easy. Rodgers and Adams will probably not be able to play a simple game of pitch and catch. Also, while the Rams of 2 years ago, who won the NFC Championship, would go up and down the field on the strength of their passing game, we've seen all year, whether it's effective or not, the Rams have really tried to run the ball and then pass off their run game when they had the right matchup or to take advantage of the defense, overcommitting, especially against Cam Akers. The Packers' run defense isn't good. So this is an area where McVay and the Rams are going to try to get Cam Akers going. And he's had some big games this year, and he's had them late in the season. He had a good game against Seattle. So while on the surface, Green Bay only being a little less than a touchdown favorite against the Rams seems strange, I get it. Also, let's remember, Aaron Rodgers won Super Bowl 45. He hasn't been back to a Super Bowl since. That's 10 years. Much of that blame was heaped on pushing Mike McCarthy out the door a couple years ago. But I think Rodgers has to absorb some of that blame as well. And let's remember that in the NFC title game last year, Green Bay got off to a bad start, and that was the end of the game. Green Bay doesn't, under Aaron Rodgers, often isn't a team that fights back. And they've had some bad playoff performances. And that includes last year, and that was with their current head coach. There is a scenario here where the Rams pull this off. I think it's unlikely. The analytics say Green Bay is nearly 10 points better than the Rams. But if Akers produces on the ground, Ramsey limits the consistent connection between Rodgers and Adams. And Goff can make, let's say, enough throws on third down or big-time throws in the red zone or downfield, then you can make a case for the Rams in this game. I can't go against Green Bay, but I understand how the Rams could be in this game and potentially pull it off. And they're also really not dealing with a Lambeau Field crowd that would obviously help prop up the Packers and motivate them even more. Road teams last week with either no or limited fans in the stands. The Colts played well on the road against the Bills. The Rams won on the road against the Seahawks. The Bucs won on the road at Washington. The Ravens won on the road at the Titans. The Bears lost on the road at the Saints, but were never really out of the game until the last, 10 minutes of the fourth quarter because their defense played well. And the Browns won on the road at the Steelers. So really, in the first week of the playoffs, based on those six games, you didn't see much of a home field advantage at all. So I don't see that working to the Packers' benefit either. I think in the end, the Packers do win this game. But as I said, yeah, I can make a case for the Rams advancing to the NFC Championship. Ravens at Bills. According to Vegas odds makers, and early action, this is the closest game, the closest to being a toss-up. Buffalo played well, didn't look like the Bills who were playing not to lose as they did a year ago in the playoffs against the Houston Texans in a game that looked like two teams who wanted it, and it was who wants it less. The Bills have come a long way. To me, the Bills now are what the Ravens were. And I know the Ravens have been playing better, and they came from a 10-0 deficit. Ravens normally have a good first quarter and did in the month of December. They didn't have that against the Titans. They flipped the script. They controlled the rest of that game against the Titans, and Lamar Jackson gets his first playoff win. I, like many, are concerned that Lamar Jackson won't like playing in the cold and potentially in the snow. He's admitted he's never thrown a football in the snow. And while it did snow at Louisville when he was in college there, the closest thing he did to playing in the snow was have a snowball fight with some friends or some teammates. The Bills' offense, to me, is more lethal, more quick strike than the Ravens. The Ravens really are relying on Lamar Jackson to make big plays himself with his feet. That's what turned the game against Tennessee. He did make some key throws, but even on those plays, he kept the plays alive. I do like the Bills head coach being prepared for Lamar Jackson in this game. I thought this would be Buffalo against Pittsburgh, as many did, and I was prepared to say Buffalo was going to run Pittsburgh out of the building. I knew Pittsburgh wasn't capable of a Super Bowl run. I just thought it would die in week two of the playoffs. It died in week one. I still have to believe in the Bills at this point that they are closer to a Super Bowl contender than this Baltimore team is. And Stephon Diggs has been outstanding for the Bills. And I'm not sure what the Ravens do to prevent Diggs from having a significant impact on this game, as good as the Ravens defense is. Sunday, Kansas City against Cleveland. This game opened with Kansas City as a double-digit favorite. It's basically stayed right around there, or ticked down to Kansas City by 9.5. It's tough to make a case Cleveland's going to win this week. Absolutely everything went right for them in the first quarter of the game against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. Honestly, as long as you weren't a Steeler fan, it was fun to watch. I have said on various outlets how impressed I have been with the job of Kevin Stefanski, who wasn't even on the sideline last week. He will be on the sideline this week. Stefanski moving on from Minnesota and getting the Cleveland job might be a similar scenario to remember how the Eagles had Frank Reich, and Reich goes to Indy, and Indy's been real good since Reich got there, and now the Eagles have fired Doug Peterson, and what have the Vikings done, you know, despite going all in and having big-time talent like Thielen and a rookie like Jefferson and spending $28 million a year on Cousins and getting huge years the last 2 years out of Dalvin Cook, it's gotten them nothing. So I like Stefanski. Love the Cleveland running game. Kansas City is not a great run defense, but I just can't get over the fact that for the last couple years, when Patrick Mahomes needs to get something done, he gets it done. I don't see Cleveland being the team to prevent him from doing that. It was one thing that New England was the team that prevented him from doing that. But if you remember, New England got the ball first in overtime, went right down and scored. Mahomes didn't get to touch the ball 2 years ago in the AFC Championship. So I think Cleveland will have some effectiveness with the run game. Kareem Hunt is certainly very motivated in this game. Nick Chubb is really, really good. I don't know. Tennessee last year, with a great running game in Derrick Henry, got up 24 on the Chiefs. What did that do? The Chiefs overcame that. So I still believe in the Chiefs in this spot. I'm very respectful and, let's just say, appreciative that the Browns have gotten this far. It's just hard to see as many things going their way in this game that went their way last week. And finally, Bucks against the Saints. This opened a little less than I thought it would open based on my research. I thought it would open at 4.5 or higher. It opened at 3.5, and it's gone down to 3. Now, what's interesting about that is Brady and the Bucks have been getting a lot of attention in terms of moving lines in their favor. Last week was a great example. The Bucks opened as around a 6 or 6.5 point favorite by the time we got to kickoff. And granted, some of the late action was because Alex Smith was inactive. The Bucks went off as a 10-point favorite. If you got it early, you covered. If you waited, you didn't. The analytics said last week that the Bucks were overplayed in terms of people betting on the Bucks, sort of overbetting the Bucks, and Washington did cover the spread. Many of those factors still exist here to me, even though the line hasn't moved but a half point in the Buccaneers' favor, which is very little compared to most weeks this season. It currently sits at 3 at the time of this podcast. The analytics say, once again, New Orleans is being underplayed, undervalued, just like they were last week against the Chicago Bears. My concern for Tampa Bay is not only that they've lost twice to the Saints, and teams that win the first two in a year win the third in the playoffs roughly 60% of the time. And the last time we went down this road, New Orleans won 3, 2 in the regular season, 1 against Carolina in the playoffs. That was either 2 or 3 years ago. The Bucs just leave too many guys open, passing-wise. And New Orleans has a Pro Bowl left tackle and a Pro Bowl left guard. So if Todd Bowles is counting on pressure, 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 blitz, 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 I don't think it's going to work against Sean Payton and Drew Brees. It didn't work twice this year. In those games, the highest rushing total for a Saint was 54 yards. That was in the blowout against the Bucs. When teams have beaten the Bucs, they complete 74% of their passes. It just shows you that it's too easy to complete passes against this Todd Bowles defense. So when it comes down to Sean Payton game planning and talking in the ear of a veteran quarterback like Drew Brees against a Todd Bowles defense that seems to try to cover up the fact that they can't cover consistently by just pressure, pressure, pressure. And remember, the entire left side of the New Orleans line is Pro Bowl caliber. To me, that's a tough formula for the Bucs to overcome. It's a tough formula for Tom Brady to overcome. Ronald Jones, I think, plays a very significant role here. If he can play, he has the potential to put up a big number. Ronald Jones has put up a big number in four games this year, including against the Bears, who can play this heavy run defense in the middle and make life very difficult on opposing running backs. And that was in a three-game stretch where Jones led the NFL in rushing by 60 yards. So I think Jones playing well consistently, putting up a big rushing number, and adding to that with something here or there, but I think the rushing number is the most important. That would limit the snaps for the Saints, would keep the clock running. I think give Tom Brady some even better looks downfield to Evans. Godwin's not going to drop three or four balls again, and Antonio Brown has come on very well, and you've seen why they kept Cameron Brate around. He's just, even Jameis Winston found Cameron Brate. Brate is just a very, very reliable target. I just don't know that without Jones having a big game, that Brady and the passing offense can do enough to keep up with Sean Payton and Drew Brees going up against a Buck defense that allows pretty much three of every four passes to be completed. So I lean towards New Orleans in this game, while also say the same thing I said about Green Bay. You know, Green Bay hasn't won a Super Bowl since Super Bowl 45. The Saints haven't won a Super Bowl since Super Bowl 44. And the last 3 years, the Saints have really disappointed in the playoffs. You go back to the Minneapolis Miracle 3 years ago. That was inexcusable. Then you remember the non-pass interference call against the Rams. And you think about that and how that impacted the Saints. And then last year, the Saints come up small and lose in overtime to the Minnesota Vikings. So could the Saints' bad luck in the playoffs continue? Yeah, I guess it could. You know, I look at Green Bay and New Orleans, and that's potentially Tampa Bay's path to get to the Super Bowl. And I do see two teams led by two quarterbacks who, as great as they are, I mean, they're active Hall of Famers. Have they been getting it done in the playoffs recently? And the answer is no. So the same case I made for the Rams getting a bad game out of the Packers to advance, based on how the Packers have had bad playoff performances for much of the last decade, you can certainly say that about the Saints, whether it's a bad performance or bad luck in the last few years, and that would be a case of Brady and the Bucks being able to advance. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and by Papa John's of Tampa Bay. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll be back with you early next week.